ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। श्रीमद्भागवतम कैंटो 6 चैप्टर 15 स्टार्टिंग अ न्यू चैप्टर द चैप्टर एंटाइटल द सेंट्स नारद एंड अंगिरा इंस्ट्रक्ट चित्रकेतु। सो फर्स्ट रीड द श्लोक नंबर 1 which has no purport, and then recite text number 2 together. Shri Shuka Vacha Uchatur Mritakopante Patitam Mritakopamam Shokabhibhutam Rajanam Bodhayantau Saduktibhi. Translation: Shri Shukdev Goswami said, while King Chitraketu, overcome by lamentation, lay like a dead body, at the side of the dead body of his son, the two great sages, Narada and Angira, instructed him about spiritual consciousness as follows. Ko ayam oyam syatava rajendra bhavan yam anusochati त्वं चास्य कतमाश्रिष्टौ पुरे दानिम् अतः परम्। Translation and purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Translation: O King, what relationship does a dead body for which you lament have with you, and what relationship do you have with him? You may say that you are now related as father and son. But do you think this relationship existed before? Does it truly exist now? Will it continue in the future? Purport: the instructions given by Narada and Angira are the true spiritual instructions for the illusion conditioned soul. This world is temporary, but because of our previous karma, we come here and accept bodies, creating temporary relationships in terms of society, friendship, love, nationality and community, which are all finished at death. These temporary relationships did not exist in the past, nor will they exist in the future. Therefore, at the present moment, the so-called relationships are illusions. So here, this is the progress where Chitraketu Maharaj's son has died, and Chitraketu Maharaj is now lamenting very, very bitterly, more so bitterly than ever before. When he did not have a son, his lamentation was truly so great that his mind and his face could show the miserable nature of his mind. His face was pale and his mind was extremely disturbed. Therefore, the first time when Angira Muni came and saw the pale face of King Chitraketu Maharaj, so he felt that definitely this king is in distress. And therefore he was asking questions. The sage never diagnosed the problem right after. We see this is typical of all the sages. When they see there is a problem, they don't put the problem just before the person that you are suffering from this problem. They try to help the person suffering, try to diagnose his own problem, try to give an attempt first. So first time when Angira Muni saw Chitraketu Maharaj, Angira Muni asked that, "Oh King Chitraketu, I can observe that your mind is not pleased. You seem not to have achieved your desired goal." So this was speaking in cryptic language. Is this because you yourself, or it has been caused by others? others may, because not having a son, your pale face reflects your deep anxiety. And at that time, King Chitraketu was so absorbed in having the son, he could not have heard some philosophy at that time. Because that was not the time that he wanted philosophy, he wanted to have a son. So, Angira Muni decided to bestow this benediction temporarily so that he would have a son, lose it, and then he'll be able to understand the philosophy. Right. So it took Chitraketu Maharaj, the death of his son, to understand his philosophy. And here, immediately now, because Narad Muni and Angira Muni have, they know the situation, what is good, they actually saw the future. That already proclaimed that this son is going to be Harshashok, is going to give you only happiness for some time and shok for a longer time. And that's how, when Narad Muni and Angira Muni were expecting this situation, the great lamentation of Chitraketu Maharaj, and they appeared well on time. The right time, so that Chitraketu Maharaj could absorb the philosophy. And typically we find, in all situations, people are very curious about understanding philosophy when there is a great time of lamentation. In Bhagavad Gita, Arjuna did not feel the need to hear from Krishna unless and until he was put into that great lamentation. Lamentation of the expectation of the death of his relatives. But Chitraketu Maharaj had gone a step further. He had actually undergone the lamentation of experiencing the death of his near relative. So, we find here that time and again, the Bhagavatam explains that the material nature is designed in such a way so as to give suffering, not to just tolerate suffering, but to inquire in these times of great distress. Also we find in the Srimad Bhagavatam, the 7th canto, where Srila Prabhupada explains, the Sukadeva Goswami is explaining the situation after the death of Hiranyaksha, and after how Hiranyakashipu terrorizes the whole universes with his atrocities, destroying sacrifices, killing cows, brahmanas, all the infrastructure, and giving great distress. And finally, Hiranyakashipu tries to pacify the relatives of the deceased, namely his nephews, the wife of Hiranyaksha, Rushabhanu, and his mother, Diti. So, of course, just as these demons were very, very learned, Prabhupada explains, but they did not use their learning in the right direction. Therefore, they are called Dushkritinaha. Why? Because they are Kriti, they are meritorious, they are learned, but they use their abilities against the will of the Lord. So here Hiranyakashipu is becoming a very nice, great politician and is trying to pacify, because any enemy would not like, or any person would not like that his enemy has destroyed the morale of his opponent, so much so that he has lost his composure. Therefore, he is trying to pacify all the relatives and just to make a show that actually we are not affected. And he is not consoling all his relatives because he wants them to get self-realized, or he wants them to understand this philosophy of spiritual life, but he's just politically maneuvering the whole thing. So this shows that Hiranyakashipu was actually a Dushkriti, though he was learned in all the philosophy that he speaks, very, very wonderful philosophy. He has learned the Shastras very deeply. But he is using this time, this philosophy, just to put forward a political cause. So he is saying that Bhutanam iva samvasa, prapayam iva surute, devana karta, nitanam, unnitanam swakarma bhi. That travelers on a road, on a path, when they are walking on their path, they come together at one place where there is cold drinking water. And when their business is finished, when their thirst is quenched, they all depart for their respective destinations. Like when you go on Govardhan Parikrama, you find that, you know, if there is a place where there is a piao or a drinking water spot, if people are thirsty, if they are walking very far behind, they will increase their pace and they will come ahead. And all the people will converge at different spots to the place. And then afterwards, they will all move their respective destinations. So here, Hiranyakashipu is explaining similar analogy that by providence or by their own swakarma bhi, this Nitanam and Unnitanam, they came together and one family, and now they are little departing. Just as prisoners because of their various crimes, like there is some jail or Tihar jail or some particular jail which is meant for really hardcore criminals. So those who are hardcore criminals, who have performed hardcore criminal activities, they will all come together as a family. Right? Or if some political prisoners are there, they will come together as in one group. So just because they have come together in the prison cell and they are staying in a one unit does not mean that they have now in the family and they are never to be separated. They will all depart. And maybe they will perform some other grade of criminal activities and will be in some different jail. So, Hiranyakashipu is very wonderfully explaining. And then he is explaining about a story of King Suyagya. Because no one likes to understand plain philosophy. I mean, we have this own understanding of ourselves. Right? Where is the story? Where is that? The line of flow of thought should be focused in some suspense or some kind of intriguing thing. So therefore a story. Right. All children used to learn philosophy. Never they learned philosophy, or we also learned philosophy, not by hearing from Bhagavad Gita, but we heard in the short quotes of Ramayana and Mahabharata told by our elders. So Hiranyakashipu is knowing that I must speak a story now. This philosophy is going too much now. Right. So he said about the story of King Suyagya, who had been killed by his enemies. And as he was lying on the battlefield with his face blackened completely by the dust on the battlefield, his arms were broken, mangled, and all the queens of this wife, including the citizens, were lamenting. So, finally, in this story also there is another story, right? That Yamaraj comes at this point of time because, he sees that this body, which is the king of the body of this king is so much been surrounded by attached relatives that this king has become attached, and therefore he is hovering in a subtle body over his gross body, which is laying on the battlefield. And the queens are holding this body on their lap, not willing to leave. In order to gain release for this soul of King Suyagya, Yamaraj mercifully comes. This is the nature of great souls. They do not tolerate the sufferings of others. And in order to alleviate the suffering, they do not give stopgap solutions. They give a very permanent solution. So, Yamaraj speaks, and Yamaraj does not come as Yamaraj. Otherwise, they would start blaming Yamaraj. They would take Yamaraj to question. So, Yamaraj comes disguised as young boy. Two reasons. First, so that they will not, attack him with words, with blaming, insulting words. And secondly, when he starts speaking philosophy, they will all hear attentively. So, Yamaraj starts speaking wonderful philosophy. And he explains to them that this lamentation is because due to a strong bodily conception. And Srila Prabhupada explains in one of these purports very, very wonderfully this shloka, which says that yasyatma buddhi kuna petru tridhatuke sayatra sayat kalatradi bishu ભૌમ્ય ઇજ્જતિ યત તીર્થ બુદ્ધિ શલિને કરે છે અભિજ્ઞેશુ જનેશુ સ એવ ગો ખરા. સો પ્રભુપાદ એક્સપ્લેન્સ ધીસ પીપલ હુ આર ઇન ઇલ્યુઝન ઓફ ધીસ બોડલી કન્સેપ્ટ ઓફ લાઈફ આર કમ્પેર્ડ ટુ ગો ખરા. ગો વાય અ કાઉ, અ કાઉ એન્ડ અ ડોન્કી, એન એસ. પ્રભુપાદ એક્સપ્લેન્સ વાય કાઉ વેરી વેરી નાઇસલી. પ્રભુપાદ એક્સપ્લેન્સ વિથ this example of a cow. When a calf of that cow dies, the milkman cheats the cow by placing the dead body of the calf very close to this cow, and the cow is licking this body of the calf thinking it to be alive, and therefore thereby the milkman milks from this cow. As much as he can milk from this cow, by cheating the cow, by placing the dead body of the cow in front of the dead body of the calf in front of the cow, so that the calf will feel pacified, even it has died. And therefore, Prabhupada explains that these people are compared to gokhara cow, exactly like a cow who is completely in illusion of the bodily concept of life. Prabhupada explains from his previous memories that there was a yogi, a very mystic yogi, and he had left his body. So the disciples felt that his body is mystical yogi, therefore actually he's in samadhi now, right? So they kept preserving his body for a long time, but because they were so attached to this body, they could not give away the body of this yogi. But soon that body of the yogi started stinking, because the natures, the modes of the powerful laws of nature had overcome his mystic potency. And therefore the false conception that this yogi was in samadhi was smashed, and later on they were convinced to bury or either burn that body. So Prabhupada says that what to speak of this yogi of our previous contemporary times and of these modern times, where the scientists are trying to preserve the body, the dead body, so that in future when they get the formula for reviving life, they will inject life back in their body. And of course, Prabhupada is referring to this great animator and cartoonist, Walt Disney, who died out of cancer way long back, around 50, 60 years ago. And this body was preserved so that they found that if we find a solution to cancer, when we find some technique, we will revive life back into this body. Until some recent time, there were fight in their generations that because the cost of preserving a dead body is very enormous. By hypothermia technique, they have to deep freeze the body. And so much money was spent on keeping this dead body in a completely frozen condition. So their kith and kins are fighting a case whether we should dispose of, or we should still allow them to continue the research, because this dead body is taking away all our wealth. So there is no point. At least he is not getting any benefit. Let us take some benefit out of it. So that's how Prabhupada is saying that. Just imagine, Prabhupada is explaining that before the time of Hiranyakashipu, because when Hiranyakashipu is talking about this past time, he is referring to a previous age or a previous time where this situation happened. And at his time, this situation happened in front of him. And then Prabhupada is explaining about the contemporary times of his times, that a yogi body was preserved in illusion. And in the future also, people are still perpetuating that great illusion. And Prabhupada says that before the time of Hiranyakashipu, till today, this illusion has continued. It is so strong. It is so difficult. And therefore, Yamraj, who is speaking very nice philosophy, is making some sense to these relatives. And he said, okay, accepted that you are an illusion. So because you are an illusion, you never saw the person in this body anyways. So, now that the person has gone away, it does not make any meaning to you, because you never actually related with that person. So the body that you are attached is still there in front of you. So why are you lamenting for the person who has now left away? Because you actually never cared for that person while he was alive. Therefore, do not lament. As Krishna is telling to Arjuna on various levels. First he is trying to explain Sankhya Yoga. Right? That the body is temporary, the soul is permanent. But anyways, even if you think that this body is simply made of chemicals and this chemicals combination, life is coming back. And then when the chemical combination is disturbed, then life is going, is lost. But the chemicals are still preserved, so there is no loss of chemicals. Why are you lamenting, Arjun? So from every point of view, the sadhus, the great souls, are trying to completely smash the illusion. And then he's explaining that, okay, even if you lament for the dead body, what is the practical point? Are you going to be free from death just by lamenting? Are you trying to gain some sympathy from Yamaraj? See, I am lamenting for the dead one, so you please spare me. No. Therefore, the greatest illusion is that ahani ani bhutani gachante yamalayam sheshastavaram ichanti. Others are going to the abode of Yamaraj, but everyone thinks, I will stay. So even if you think, and that's what Prabhupada explains in one of his very wonderful purports, that people are very inquisitive to hear philosophy at such situations, as in these circumstances, when someone near and dear one leaves his body. And if anyone speaks philosophy at that time, he is considered a great jnani. He is considered a very, very self-realized soul. But as soon as the body is cremated, people become again, focus their attention back to their material engagements. And Prabhupada says this is called Smashan Vairagya. Right? So we find typically when we go, we are invited to some funeral ceremonies and like, please recite the chapters of Bhagavad Gita. We'll keep some program. They have never kept any satsang program till now, when the person was alive. But after the person has died, there is no satsang for him. And there is no satsang for others also, because they have become so overwhelmed with grief. They can't but do anything but try to distract their attention from this lamentation. So neither the philosophy seeps in at that time. Neither that person got a benefit. But people find a kind of solace that, you know, we did our duty. They actually did not know who they are and what their duty is. So this is the most lamentable condition of this human society. Therefore, Yamaraj explains that a three kind of steps to retard and to distract from lamentation. And he says that this material world is perishable and the spirit is permanent. Therefore, one must give up the illusion of the permanence of this temporary material world. Secondly, he says that human being is not meant to be absorbed in caring for the temporary body, but must endeavor to go home back to Godhead. And Shripad Madhvacharya explains that this whole life is meant to absorb and focus in the transcendental devotional service of Janardhan. And just by diverting ourselves to the transcendental service of Lord Janardhan, we'll be able to overcome this lamentation. And thirdly, he says that avoid Smashan Vairagya. Right? Do not let this philosophy just come to your notice only where there are some circumstances leading to that thought. Because we are time and again hearing the Srimad Bhagavatam more about death. Vritrasura dies. Parikshit Maharaj is about to die. Then we see that Hiranyakashipu is speaking about this. And there are only situations where Ajamil is on near-death experience on his bed. So the Bhagavatam is only explaining about people dying. Why? So that we can focus on how to live, on the art of living. That's what people say. When people speak about art of living without reference to art of dying, actually there is no point living. Right? Because they have not understood what is life and what is death. So if you understand only living without dying, then there is no point of that art. So here he is telling that Avoid this Smashan Vairagya. Always let this philosophy be in the forefront, because you are also going to one day face it. Therefore, why all the sages are hearing the Srimad Bhagavatam? Because they also know that they are also going to face the same problem which Maharaj Parikshit is facing. Therefore, they also are attentive. It's not that this philosophy is just meant for Maharaj Parikshit and everyone is trying to encourage Maharaj Parikshit. But these great sages are also trying to get benefit themselves. So here we find Prabhupada says, therefore this distress condition is the most favorable condition for practicing devotional service. Therefore in our preaching, mostly we find the factor of distress in a person. The more the person is distressed, the more likely he is to take to chanting Hare Krishna. He will not ask for a philosophy, logic, anything. He will just take the beads and start chanting. Right? Because he is so distressed, he needs support and shelter. Anything that comes, he grabs. Therefore, the world is created. And therefore, if people are not understanding that this world is of distress, the sadhus come and say that you are suffering. So, not that we are trying to artificially create some distressing condition, but we are trying to expose the dukkhalaya nature of this material world. And therefore, most of the time we start dukkhalaya mashashvatam, right? And we try to discourage people trying to enjoy. Why? Because then they will be able to transfer their focus to the realm of devotional service. So we find also that the solution to lamentation is something very drastic, very way beyond our conception, imagination. And we find that in the first canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam, where Shaunaka Rishi is trying to ask, is inquiring about to Suta Goswami, that why Vyasdev, after compiling so many literatures, again he compiled another great work of Srimad Bhagavatam. He had already divided the Vedas, he already compiled the Puranas, the Itihasas, the Mahabharat. Then why again he came back to compile the Srimad Bhagavatam? And why Shukdev Goswami, being such a great liberated soul, had to spend so much time on understanding this book, this scripture? And why is that Parikshit Maharaj, such a great king, he left his kingdom and heard from Shukdev Goswami? And why Shukdev Goswami is speaking to this king, who is a materialistic person? I mean, like, he's a king and a householder. What business this great liberated soul has with Parikshit Maharaj? So these questions indicate the inquisitiveness in the mind of the sages to know more deeply about the subject matter. And more deeply that they probe, the more deep that Suta Goswami is going to explain. And this is basically a reciprocation. And therefore the Srimad Bhagavatam never came about by a casual acquaintance of two people. It was not that Parikshit Maharaj met and said, okay, you speak, I am hearing. I'm listening to you. No, he was inquiring. He was inquisitive. He was interrupting. Okay, what happened this? What happened that? And he was not just hearing, but he was actually in. He was in that Bhagavatam class. Right? He was himself in that Leelas. He was participating. He was going. He was traversing. He was experiencing all the emotions. When Putna came, Balde Prabhu was explaining nicely in Brahmachari class that when Putna arrived in Gokul, immediately Parikshit Maharaj became very afraid, very fearful that he is going to kill Krishna. The pastime has already occurred, everything is finished. It's not documented in the Srimad Bhagavatam, but Parikshit Maharaj is thinking that Krishna is going to be killed by Putana. But then, seeing the anticipation of Maharaj Parikshit, he is telling Maharaj Parikshit that wherever there is the holy name of the Lord, nothing inauspicious can occur. What to speak when Krishna himself is present there? So we find that Maharaj Parikshit is completely animated. He is actually present in all the pastimes. And therefore, when Vyasdev is also undergoing a lamentation but of a different kind, he is trying to expand his service to the Supreme Lord. And Srila Vyasdev is wanting to do welfare for the masses. But in an attempt to serve the Supreme Lord, he is undergoing this great lamentation. So what to speak of Chitraketu Maharaj is undergoing lamentation for a very material reason, a materialistic cause. But Vyasadeva is undergoing lamentation also. So then what is the point in practicing spiritual life? Vyasadeva is such an elevated person. Why he has to lament now? Right? When Chitraketu Maharaj laments, we understand, okay, he is in the illusory concept of life. But what about Vyasadeva? How can such a great soul lament? So here, Vyasadeva, when he was sitting at the banks of Saraswati, way up in Badrikashram, he is meditating and he is having the vision. What is his vision? He is seeing all the anomalies in Kali Yuga. He is seeing all degradation. Right? What we see is simply 1% or maybe some fraction, but Vyasadeva saw the whole gamut of the degradation. And he is informed what the kind of degradation: envy, deceit, anxiety, distress, enmity, quarrel, and so many vices. So Vyasadeva was not incapacitated, that he saw this misery and said, "What can I do? It is all providence now." Right? But he was capable of trying making a change. And that's why he made a mission to compile and simplify the Vedic scriptures. So, Burijan Prabhu explains in his commentaries on the Srimad Bhagavatam that the Vedic Sanskrit was very difficult at the time of Srila Vyasadeva, and it was even difficult in a normal Sanskrit. And in order to understand Sanskrit, one had to understand the 6 divisions of Sanskrit. Our Madan Gopal Prabhu will know much about this, about Shiksha, Kalpa, Vyakaran, Nirukti, Chanda and Jyotisha. These 6 things were prerequisite to understand Vedic Sanskrit, which was even difficult than the normal Sanskrit that we are trying to understand. Right? And therefore, in order to simplify the understanding so that the people could perform the right sacrifices and also access to that knowledge, he divided the Vedas. He was very analytical, very logical in doing it. He knew the problem. He analyzed it. He started about making a solution very systematically. He made the Vedas, divided the Vedas into 4. Rig, Yajur, Sam, Atharva. And then he entrusted all of these 4 to different of his disciples so that they could be propagated and they would not be lost. Vyasadeva compiled the Bhagavad Gita. In fact, Prabhupada explains that it's such a nice collaboration between Vyasadeva and Krishna. Krishna spoke the Bhagavad Gita and Vyasadeva compiled the Mahabharata. Right? Just because Krishna spoke the Bhagavad Gita, it was not available to us. But when Vyasadeva compiled the Bhagavad Gita in the Mahabharata, that's how it became accessible to us. Therefore, Krishna and Vyasadeva collaborated to give the living entities this wonderful gift. So in this way he compiles Vedanta Sutra. Then he says, "Oh, let me break down into codes for simpler understanding." And till then, Vyasadeva could not find satisfaction. He thought, okay, what about the Dvija Bandhus, the Shudras and the lower sections of the society? They won't be able to enter into this Vedas. Therefore, let me compile Mahabharata. So he compiles Mahabharata. And typically we see that what Arjuna went through before the battlefield of Kurukshetra, that's what Vyasadeva is going through before he meets Narad Muni. As Arjuna gave all arguments why not to fight the battlefield of Kurukshetra, Vyasadeva also made even enough arrangements to make sure that he has done the perfect job. He thought he has done it perfectly. And he was convinced. Till the point of time, he ended up in frustration. And as Arjuna was frustrated, similarly, Vyasadeva also was dissatisfied. And as Vyasadeva was dissatisfied, as the time Arjuna was frustrated, Krishna smiled. Prahasan is typical of great souls to smile. Right? Smile not just, "Oh, you are an illusion." No. smiling to know that this person has fallen into illusion and now I have to come to save him now. And therefore Krishna is saying, Arjuna, okay, go ahead with your talks, go ahead with your arguments, let's see how far you go. Similarly, Vyasadeva is approached by Narad Muni when Narad Muni comes there and sees and he smiles. Even Prahlad Maharaj, when he is seeing his classmates being absorbed in this materialistic life, he is also smiling. So, typically of these great souls to smile, I mean, we find quite similarity everywhere. And only when Arjuna submitted Karpanya Dosha Apata Svabhava, Prichhami Tvam Dharma Samudha Cheta, Yasyam Nishitam Bruhitan Me Shishchastyam Sadhi Tvam Mam Prapannam, then Arjuna could hear the Bhagavad Gita. Similarly, when Vyasadeva submitted that, actually I tried everything but I'm feeling so dissatisfied, you're such a great soul, you have completely perfected your life by executing 100% devotional service, therefore you are the right person who can give a solution. And that's how Narad Muni was trying to probe, just as these great souls are probing. What is the cause of a lamentation? Is it because you're identified with the body and the mind to be taken as the self? And Prabhupada explains in one of his lectures on this verses that unless one is on the spiritual platform, one will never be satisfied. So therefore, when many times people will ask about Krishna and all the other things about Krishna, can you explain about Krishna, Ras Lila? Prabhupada said, I am not qualified. And he would say that first of all, even before approaching Krishna, one has to understand who is the self and try to understand about the self and the body. Prabhupada said, give an example. So now I am in USA and you are taking so nice care of me. I am in a foreign place and you are taking such nice care of me, but still I remember Vrindavan. I am still finding that satisfaction in Vrindavan. So even if I am in a foreign place, my satisfaction lies somewhere else. Similarly, we are in this foreign place, this material existence, and we are in this body, our satisfaction lies somewhere else. And Prabhupada said, the child is crying and the mother is trying to pacify the crying child, but the child wants to suck milk from the mother. That is his need. So Prabhupada said, this Bhagavad Gita is wanted. The scriptures are wanted and people are hankering for it. And Prabhupada said, I remember my previous acquaintance when I went to the house to meet the tenant of my friend, Mr. Malik. So there was a European, a gentleman who was staying there and he was about to leave that place. So in his almirah, this Malik found a Bhagavad Gita. So Yaz actually just said aloud that, you know, what is this Bhagavad Gita doing in a Christian's house? In a Christian's place, European. So as he was taking this Bhagavad Gita, the European said, as I am leaving this place, I can give you everything, but not this Bhagavad Gita. And then both of them realized, even if the people are having so much materially, they still have the hankering for the spiritual. And Prabhupada says that athato brahma jigyasa, therefore you Americans, you have tried to enjoy all material facilities, therefore you are frustrated. Therefore, now you must come and take to Krishna consciousness. That is the meaning of Atha. That you Americans have tried to taken and enjoy all these material facilities and you are all doomed. Therefore, Brahma Jigyasa. You Americans, you must take it. Prabhupada was customizing Atha to Brahma Jigyasa for the Americans, for the hippies. And in this way, Vyasadeva was able to counteract his lamentation when he could see the plan of the Lord. So in both cases, Arjuna was showing ignorance of his self-interest by the will of Krishna. Similarly, Vyasadeva was experiencing despondency because it was inspired by Krishna himself. If Krishna had not inspired despondency in the heart of Vyasadeva, the Srimad Bhagavatam could not have been revealed, could not have been compiled for our welfare. And if Arjuna was not put in ignorance, then the Bhagavad Gita couldn't have been spoken. So this is what the great souls accede to the plan of the Lord and become a willing instrument. And therefore, both of them are pointing out to the great lineage of their disciples. Krishna is telling Partha and Bharata how this kutasva kashmalidam samupaste anaryam aswargam kirtim akaram Arjuna. And he's chastising. Oh Bharata, you are the descendant of Bharat, and also from your mother's side you are coming from Pritha, Kunti Devi, such a great lineage. How this contamination could enter you? And here also Vyas Narada is saying, oh, you are Mahabhaga Parasharya, right? How this kind of despondency can come up to you? So both are trying to evoke the inner potential in both of them. And then we find that by the mercy of this great source, that these great literatures could be revealed. And great souls have referred to this literature again and again. Finally, to conclude, we will just visit Vidura meeting Maitreya Muni at Haridwar, where Vidura, after leaving Uddhav from Vrindavan, he comes to Haridwar and he asks Maitreya Muni very blunt questions, and he says that, oh my Lord, I have repeatedly heard, he's inquiring about various things, but said, I have heard about this, so many things. It's not just enough to just know the connection of the self with the, or the differentiation of the self with the body, but also that the self is connected with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And that engagement is by devotional service. So he says that, oh my Lord, I have repeatedly heard about all these higher and lower statuses of human society from the mouth of Vyasdeva. Why? Because Vyasdeva is my father. I know all these things, right? And I am quite satisfied with all these lesser subject matters and their happinesses. They are not satisfied with me with the nectar of topics about Krishna. Tesham Krishna Katham Avgatat. And Prabhupada says that Vidura was already satiated by hearing all the mundane and social political histories. And he says that, I have already heard about the Mahabharata, which is compiled by Krishna, Dvaipayana, Vyas. So please continue to explain about the topics of Krishna Katha. Who in the human society can be satisfied without hearing sufficient talk of the Lord? And that's why Narad Muni also said that you did not sufficiently glorify the Supreme Lord in your compilations. Why? Because the ratio of dharma, artha and kama and moksha was more than the emphasis on devotional service. Therefore, you have misguided the people. Not only that, you have done an error, but you have misguided the people for generations to come. Therefore, in order to counteract this great folly, you have to compile a great work where you have to fully, exhaustively describe the glories of the Supreme Lord. And therefore here Vidura is suggesting that who in the human society could be satisfied without hearing sufficient talk of the Lord, whose lotus feet are the sum total of all the places of pilgrimage and is worshipped by great sages and many devotees. Such topic can cut off one's bondage to family affection simply by entering the holes of one's ear. And therefore Prabhupada says that even if we have come to a spiritual level of understanding, that is not enough. We have to come to a devotional understanding. Spiritual is not enough. And therefore he says that mundane goodness, when we try to understand about the spiritual topics, is not steady, because any time the modes of passion and ignorance can contaminate this mode of goodness temporarily. Therefore, you have to give Krishna Katha. Krishna Katha is the only remedy for all the people of the world, because it can situate one in pure consciousness of the self and liberate one from material bondage once and for all. Therefore, he is telling that your friend, the great sage Krishna Dvaipayana Vyasa, has already described the transcendental qualities of the Lord in his great work, the Mahabharata. Now, he is also referring to Mahabharata, but he also is not satisfied with Mahabharata. He is the character of the Mahabharata. Right? He himself is one of the characters of the Mahabharata. But the whole idea of the Mahabharata was to draw the attention of the mass of the people to Krishna Katha, which is the Bhagavad Gita. But Vyasadeva was not successful in diverting the attention of all the people to Krishna Katha. Therefore, he had to compile exhaustive Krishna Katha separately. And therefore, similarly following in the lines of Vyasadeva, if we pay attention, divert our consciousness simply to Krishna Katha, simply hearing and chanting the glories of the Supreme Lord, we will become completely satisfied. And this is the secret. And that's why Prabhupada said we have given so many books. Right? If you are not so much, if just chant Hare Krishna, Prabhupada would say in one Rath Yatra and take prasadam. But if you feel that you can do something more, then there are so many books. Right? So to increase our satisfaction, to increase our ecstasy, this Bhakti Vedanta purports are nothing but devotional ecstasies. Prabhupada himself seeing the vision, just imagine, he just got a vision from his spiritual master. And he also chastised him that you are taking the national and the community precedence, the conception that independence will give solution. And then we should take on this Krishna consciousness. And here, even Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur also pointed the anomaly or the flaw in Abhay Charan's thinking at that time. And therefore he said, you must preach this Krishna consciousness first in the whole world. And he was given that vision. And Prabhupada made that vision of his Guru Maharaj as his mission. As Prabhupada said, the secret of my success is that I simply made the words of my spiritual master as my life and soul. And not only because this great soul have a vision, have a mission, but they have compassion also. And therefore, out of compassion, only Srila Prabhupada compiled the Srimad Bhagavatam exhaustively, enormously, taking out his valuable rest time to compile the Bhagavatam for all of us. He made the time available. He would all the time say, keep me away from all the other management things. You simply manage it. Let me focus on writing these books. So therefore, these books have all the things that we need. Books are the basis. And this is the wonderful contribution of the great souls who are eager to completely dissipate the lamentation in the whole human society. So thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Gantraj Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai.